We're here rejoicing 7 days at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a parallel to a great wedding supper in Revelation 19, becoming spirit beings. As spirit beings, then in the millennium, there will be many jobs, some already assigned. Just who is already assigned? Jesus Christ said to his disciples, and Mr. Link asked the reference on that, which we will have again later, but it is for our German friends, Luke 22, verses 28 to 30. Quote, "You are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. After a 12-year ministry, these future kings, just where did they go? And why? What was their commission then?" Title of today's message, Millennium Jobs. Millennium Jobs. Follows in tune with what Mr. Kalen Mitchell was talking about with jobs. 3 points. 1, marriage supper. 2, millennium jobs assigned. And 3, 12 apostles, kings over Israel. Where did they go? Point 1, marriage supper. Point 1, marriage supper. Jesus Christ has ascended to the throne of God, already given dominion, glory, and the kingdom. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed." We look forward to Jesus Christ, already coronated as King of Kings, returning to this earth to rule and the marriage supper. Let's turn to Revelation 19, verses 6 to 9. Revelation 19, verses 6 to 9. About the wedding supper, the marriage between Jesus Christ and his church, which includes us. Quote, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife, the church, has made herself ready. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, has come, and his wife, the church, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. From our booklet, Is That in the Bible?, chapter 21, page 115, quote, Scriptures strongly imply that the marriage supper will take place here on earth after Jesus Christ's return. At the time of Jesus Christ's return, we, the saints, will be resurrected and changed and will meet him in the air and will descend immediately together to the Mount of Olives. It'll be an occasion of great rejoicing. Interesting parallel. The Feast of Tabernacles is a feast of rejoicing 7 days. An Old Testament example, in Judges chapter 14, a marriage feast lasted 7 days. Appears the wedding supper will be quite an event of rejoicing. We, under Jesus Christ, will be kings and priests in the millennium. Jobs, including some of us, may be ruling over 5 or 10 cities. For a sense of glory after Christ's return, let's take a glimpse at the coronation of the current ruler in King David's line, Queen Elizabeth II, a daughter / descendant of David. Plain Truth, July 1953, quote, Queen Elizabeth is a descendant of the oldest ruling dynasty in the world, a dynasty which God established and which he has protected and perpetuated through every generation for about 3,000 years. Jeremiah 33, verse 17. In a prayer, then, in 1953, it was petitioned that Queen Elizabeth II might govern well, quote, thy people Israel, unquote. So, Queen Elizabeth II sits on the throne of David, the very throne that Jesus Christ shall take when he returns to rule this world. Mr. Herbert Armstrong said, quote, when Christ returns to earth to sit on that throne, he shall take over a live, existing throne, not a non-existent one. Luke 1, verse 32. Now, let's go back well over a half a century via BBC article 1953, headline, Queen Elizabeth takes the coronation oath. The Queen is crowned at a coronation ceremony in Westminster Abbey in London. in front of more than 8,000 guests, including prime ministers, heads of state from around the Commonwealth. She took the coronation oath and is now bound to serve her people and to maintain the laws of God. We can relate. Bound to serve and to maintain the laws of God. After being handed the four symbols of authority, the orb, the scepter, the rod of mercy, and the royal ring of sapphire and rubies, the crown is placed on her head to complete the ceremony. Amidst shouting, gun salutes are fired as crowds cheer and homage is paid. In a broadcast, the Queen said, quote, "Throughout all my life and with all my heart, I shall strive to be worthy of your trust." Millions lined the streets of London to catch a glimpse of the new monarch as she made her way to and from Buckingham Palace in the Golden State Coach. The ceremony was watched by millions more around the world as the BBC set up their biggest ever outside broadcast to provide live coverage of the event on radio and television. There was rejoicing throughout the land. The crowds, some of whom had camped out overnight to ensure a prime position, were rewarded when the Queen and others appeared. A fireworks display then lit up the skies. Back in 2002, the Queen celebrated her 50-year Golden Jubilee. Point two, Millennium Jobs Assigned. Point two, Millennium Jobs Assigned. Following material is from Mr. Herbert Armstrong's book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, 1979. Following 16 people are not necessarily in order. Mr. Armstrong said, quote, "God told us specifically where various high executives, including Jesus Christ, will fit in. And from them we may deduce a great deal of the remaining governmental structure." So, item 1 of 16. Jesus Christ himself will be ruling from Jerusalem. Items 2, 3, and 4. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob under Jesus Christ will be over both Israelites and Gentiles. Repeatedly, the Bible uses the phrase Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, grouping them together as a team and calling them together the fathers. For the promises were re-promised also to Isaac and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will function as a top-flight team, with Abraham chairman of the team, next under Christ in the coming world government of God. Number 5. Noah. World relocation of races. Number 5. Noah. World relocation of races. Quote, "It seems evident that the resurrected Noah will head a vast project of the relocation of the races and nations within the boundaries God has set for their own best good, happiness, and richest blessings. God had set the boundary lines for the nations and the races at the beginning. Turn to Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. Now let's turn to Acts 17, verse 26. Acts 17, verse 26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. This will be a tremendous operation requiring great and vast organization, reinforced with power to move whole nations and races. This time, peoples and nations will move where God has planned for them, and no defiance will be tolerated. What a paradox. People are going to be forced to be happy, to have peace, to find abundant and joyful living. Number 6. Joseph, world economy. Number 6. Joseph, world economy. Appears Joseph will be made world's economy director. Agriculture, industry, technology, and commerce, as well as its money and monetary system. Joseph was made actual ruler of the Pharaoh of the world's greatest nation. Joseph's specialty was dealing with the economy, with prosperity, and what he did God's way. Quote, "And the Eternal was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And the Eternal made all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand." Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3. Number 7. Job, world urban renewal. Number 7. Job, world urban renewal. Indication is strong Job will be urban renewal worldwide director, rebuilding the waste places and the destroyed cities, not as they are now, but according to God's pattern. Vast engineering projects such as dams and power plants, or whatever the ruling Christ will decree. Job was the wealthiest and greatest man of the East, Job 1, verse 3, and a noted builder. Let's turn to Isaiah 61, verse 4. Isaiah 61, verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, and the desolations of many generations. Number 8. Moses over the state, which Caleb Mitchell addressed in his message. Church and state, as it's known, will be united under Jesus Christ. Three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were privileged to see a glimpse of the kingdom of God in transformation, transfiguration, or vision. Let's turn to Matthew 17, verses 1 to 3. Matthew 17, verses 1 to 3. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a hill mountain by themselves, high mountain by themselves, and he, Jesus Christ, was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him, Jesus Christ. Moses and Elijah in the vision represented the offices or heads under Jesus Christ of state or national world government under Moses, and church or religious activity under Elijah. Moses was the one through whom Jesus Christ gave the laws and the statutes of government to Israel. Moses was trained son of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, with training and experience among the Gentiles as well over the nation of Israel. Indication is Moses will be over all organized national and international government. Number 9. Elijah over the church. 9. Elijah over the church. Elijah will be over all organized church, religious, and educational activity. Elijah, above all others, is represented in Scripture as the prophet who restored the worship of the true God, obedience to his commandments. And when at Elijah's 18-second prayer, the fire fell miraculously from heaven, consuming Elijah's sacrifice, the people fell on their faces and said, "The Eternal, he is God. The Eternal, he is God." 1 Kings 18:39. The gospel and religious development is merely spiritual education. And it is significant that Elijah had organized and headed three schools or colleges. 2 verses 3 and 5, and chapter 4, verse 38, at Bethel, Jericho, and Gilgal, teaching God's truth in a world corrupted by pagan education. Number 10, John the Baptist under Elijah. at Jerusalem headquarters, working with and directly under Elijah, it appears there will be the resurrected John the Baptist. He came, quote, in the power and spirit of Elijah, unquote, Luke 1, verse 17. Of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ said, quote, assuredly, I, Jesus Christ, say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Matthew 11, verse 11. He was the Elijah prophesied to come. Matthew 17, verses 10 to 13. Also, Matthew 11, verses 7 to 11. It's evident that John the Baptist will be placed in very high office. It seems logical that he should be placed with or immediately under Elijah. Number 11, David over Israel. David will be king over the 12 great nations composed of the literal descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. We know the 12 apostles will each be a king sitting on a throne over one of the great nations descended from the tribes of Israel. Number 12, 13, 14, and 15. Numbers 12 through 15. Daniel, king over all Gentile nations. Strong indication is that the prophet Daniel will be king over all Gentile nations directly under Moses. The prophet Daniel, man of God, was trained at the top level of government authority in the world's very first world empire. Daniel refused to follow pagan ways and customs even while serving as next in authority to the king himself. Daniel proved loyal to God and the worship of God and obedient to the laws of God even while serving at the top of the world's first empire. Daniel was thrown into almost daily contact with the king in the world's first world government. Though that was human government, Daniel proved completely loyal and obedient to God's rule. He was used to reveal to King Nebuchadnezzar and immediate successors that it is God who rules over all kingdoms. Daniel prayed three times a day to God, even though it meant being thrown into the den of lions. Daniel trusted God to protect and deliver him from the lions. He gained knowledge and wisdom in the affairs and administration of government over nations. When God, through the prophet Ezekiel, named three of the most righteous men who ever lived, he named Daniel as one of them. Ezekiel 14, verse 14. Ezekiel 14, verse 14. It is an interesting possibility in passing to consider that Daniel's three colleagues in this Chaldean Empire service, as we know them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, might serve as a team directly with and under Daniel, even as the three fathers, very possibly may serve as a team directly with and under Christ himself. There are a number of such teams which appear to be possibilities. Last item 16. Paul, under Daniel, over the Gentiles. As the 12 original apostles were sent to the lost house of Israel, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. The indication then seems to be that Paul will be given position over all Gentile nations, but under Daniel. There will be kings appointed by Jesus Christ over every Gentile nation, and district rulers under them, and rulers over cities. There's no indication as the identity of any of these, except that those apostles and evangelists who worked with and directly under Paul, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, Titus, Luke, Mark, Philemon, etc., undoubtedly will be given offices of importance. Point 3. 12 apostles. Kings over 12 tribes. Where'd they go? The 12 apostles will each be king, sitting on a throne over one of the greatest nations descended from the tribes of Israel. Let's turn to Luke 22, verses 28 to 30. Luke 22, verses 28 to 30. But you are those, as Jesus Christ says, who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In that the 12 apostles will be kings over the world's greatest nations in the world tomorrow, it would be interesting to look at where the 12 apostles went in New Testament times. Following material is from reprint number 710. Where did the 12 apostles go? 1964. Back when Judah was split from Israel, Benjamin went with Judah, and with keeping the Sabbath, were not lost. However, the northern 10 tribes became known as the House of Israel, also known as the Lost 10 Tribes. Jesus Christ commissioned 12 apostles to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, known as the Lost 10 Tribes. Matthew, let's turn to Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6. Let's turn to Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel, James says, quote, scattered abroad, unquote. In their travels, we find many of them in Northwest Europe and the British Isles. We appreciate that yesterday Hank Rice mentioned to us the difference between disciples and apostles. So let's now note that the original 12 disciples are and became apostles, the 12 apostles. The 12 disciples are the 12 apostles in this case. So let's turn to Matthew 10, verses 1 to 4. Matthew 10, verses 1 to 4. The 12 apostles. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. The 12 apostles did not leave Palestine until the end of 12 years' ministry. 12 symbolizing a new organized beginning. So then, where did the 12 apostles go? And from reprint number 710 with that same name, we find where the 12 apostles, who will be kings over the world's greatest nations, each one of the 12, where they went. Number one, Simon, whom Jesus Christ gave the name Peter. Simon Peter. Also known as Simon Peter and known as Cephas, was made by Christ the chief among the 12 apostles. Peter was for a limited time in Babylon, from which he wrote letters to the churches. 1 Peter 5, verse 13. And directed the work of all the apostles in the East. After 12 years in Palestine, Peter spent time in Britain to part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel there, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and converting many. Interestingly, Chief Apostle Peter went to Britain, prophetically known as the peoples of Joseph, chief tribe in Israel, known today as United States and British Commonwealth. Mr. Armstrong said, quote, the nations descended from Joseph, the two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, known today as the U.S. and B.C., will become the two leading nations in the world in the millennium. Number two, Andrew, Peter's brother, preached to part of the house of Israel, then by the Black Sea, where at the city of Sinope, S-I-N-O-P-E, Andrew met with his brother Peter, with whom he stayed a considerable time. Andrew preached to the area north of the Black Sea, from where migrated the ancestors of the Scots and the Anglo-Saxons, also known as House of Israel. There's a Scottish tradition that Andrew preached to their ancestors. Number three, Simon the Zealot, or Zelotes, or the Canaanite, went to Egypt and North Africa, including Libya, ending in Britain, where he preached and did miracles and was crucified and buried. Number four, James, son of Alphaeus, one of the apostles sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, who left Palestine after 12 years. After the death of Stephen, James went to Spain, a road of migration to Britain, and Ireland, where he planted Christianity. As a sidebar, we find Christianity planted in the British Isles, including by Joseph of Arimathea, Simon the Zealot, Peter, and Paul. Why Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles? The third of three commissions Jesus Christ gave Paul, let's turn to Acts 9, verse 15. Acts 9, verse 15, for the answer. But the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Go, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel of mine to, number one, bear my name before Gentiles, number two, kings, and number three, the children of Israel." Number five, Thomas, or Doubting Thomas, or Didymus, brought the gospel of the kingdom to the kingdom of Parthia. Parthia means exile. These exiles were remnants of the lost 10 tribes. James 4, verse 1 says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" James, in addressing his letter to the tribes of Israel scattered abroad, warns against wars being waged among themselves. Written about 60 AD, the world was at peace except for two regions, Britain and Parthia. Thomas brought the gospel to the Parthian Israelites. The land of Parthia, controlled then, today geographically, includes modern Iran and Afghanistan. Thomas also journeyed to northwest India, to peoples connected to the name Naphtali, today Sweden, who later migrated into Scandinavia. Number six, Bartholomew shared with Thomas the same areas and spent part of his time in Armenia and Asia Minor, which we know today as Turkey. Number seven, Jude, also known as Thaddeus or Labaius, ministered in Assyria and Mesopotamia, part of Parthia, i.e., the lost 10 tribes. Number 8, Philip was assigned to Scythia and Asia Minor. Scythia was north of the Black and Caspian Seas. From Scythia migrated the Scots. The word Scot is derived from the word Scyth, and in Celtic and in Hebrew means the same, migrant or wanderer. Number 9, Matthew, or tax collector, went first to Parthia, planting Christianity, then to an area near India known as White India. Matthew was buried in Parthia. Number 10, Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot. He ministered to Dacia, modern Romania, and Macedonia, north of Greece. From Dacia came the Normans, who ultimately settled in France and Britain. Number 11, John, son of Zebedee, whom Jesus loved, along with his brother James, were named by Jesus Christ sons of thunder. John was to whom Jesus committed his mother Mary's care. There's a French tradition that Mary journeyed into Gaul, modern-day France, lending heavy weight to John's having been in Gaul in his earlier years. And number 12, James, son of Zebedee, John's brother, the other of the sons of thunder. James was martyred, beheaded by Herod. Acts 12, verse 2. Before the end of the 12-year ministry in Palestine. So there we have it. These 12 apostles will become kings over the world's great Israelite nations. In conclusion, today we've looked at 3 points or aspects relating to the millennium. Number 1, the marriage supper. Jesus Christ married to the church. There will be rejoicing and glory. Number 2, millennium jobs assigned. High-level structure in the millennium. And number 3, 12 apostles will be kings over the 12 tribes in the millennium. Where did they go? We are now observing the Feast of Tabernacles, picturing the happiness and joy and prosperity in the millennium. Let's overcome and grow to qualify for our millennium jobs.